If you've been here the last couple weeks, these words would ring a bell. This is new. Can we say it together? This is new. This is new. And, you know, maybe you're still wondering, what in the world does that mean? Everything about my life looks exactly the same as it did a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, a decade ago. What in the world does "this is new" have anything to do with my current situation? And the answer is absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. We believe that "this is new" is a God response. A God response to what? To the very thing that God is looking to do in your life today. That when you are awakened to what God is wanting to do in your life today, the only way you would even be able to explain it to yourself, to your neighbor, to the person sitting next to you is simply by saying, "This is new." We believe God is doing more than we can see. We believe God is doing more than we know. And our foundational verse for this is found in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. And these verses have really set the stage for the season that we believe we are in as a church, as the body of Christ, but not just as celebration, but as you, the individual, the father, the mother, the son, the daughter, the 20-year-old, the 60-year-old, the 80-year-old. We believe that this verse correlates to your life today. In Isaiah chapter 43, 18, it says this, "But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do." He's talking about your past. He's talking about the way it's been. He's talking about all you know. He says, "Forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." Your life today may look like a wilderness. No productivity. You feel stuck. But God is looking to put a road right where you're at, to take you out of your current season into your next season. God is bringing roads. God is providing rivers. God is doing something new. And last week, Pastor talked about this, and he made this, he brought perspective to this. He says, anytime God is looking to do something new, God always finds two types of people. The first group are the people that fall under this category, those that resist the new, those that resist the new. The second group are those that receive the new. Those that receive the new. And when he said that, I started thinking to myself, who in their right mind would want to resist something new? Like, if God is really looking to do something special, if my life isn't perfect, why would I fall into the category of resisting what God is trying to do? But in my short 35 years of life, I found that it's easier to resist what God is wanting to do than it is to receive the new thing God is wanting to do. And in John chapter 5, there's a story that we're going to be reading, and I believe there's some examples in this story that help us to understand why perhaps we resist God's new thing, why we would resist the great plans that God has for us. I mean, I know we think we would never do it, but I believe in this story there are some examples that you may have more in common with than you think. And my goal isn't just to give these examples to make you feel bad about the way you've been wired. My goal is to give these examples so when the temptation to resist the new thing comes, because it will, you would know how to respond differently. In John chapter 5, we read a very familiar story about a man that Jesus heals. He's healed a lot of people, but this is a very unique story. In verse 2, it says this, "Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. And one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years, say 38 years. When Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time, and he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" This is his response. "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets in there ahead of me." You see, this was like a magical pool. An angel would come down and stir the waters, and if you can get into this hot tub thing, healing would come to your body. And this man had never been inside of this pool, and he gives Jesus the reason why. And then Jesus in verse 8 says this. He told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat, and he began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you." But the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus that had healed him. Somebody say, snitch. Just kidding. That was the first thing I thought too. I was like, he must not have liked that response from Jesus. And he went and told, that's just, sorry. Snitches get stitches where I'm from. I know we just read a lot. I know this was a pretty wild story, but there's three things that I believe you and I can relate to as it pertains to why we would even think about resisting the new things that God is wanting to do. The first reason why I think we would resist something new, number one, is because you've been down for so long. You've been down for so long. It says one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years is a long time of being down. So long that even if there was a better tomorrow, how do you even see it? Some of us have experienced so much disappointment in life, we're not even thinking about a better tomorrow. Some of us have experienced so much loss in life, we're not even interested in something new. And life has this unique way of weighing you down. 38 years is a long time. When I get the sniffles for 3 days, my life has been turned upside down. I could not imagine being in the same condition for this long. No light at the end of the tunnel. No bright days. No happiness. No joy. Maybe the last decade of your life has been miserable. Maybe your entire life you would say, man, this has been the worst thing ever. It is a nightmare. And sometimes when you've been down for so long, it's easy to resist anything new. It's easy to resist the God help. It's easy to say, thank you, God. How about you just give it to them? It's funny. Jesus looks at the man and his excuse is, I don't get in. It's like everybody else gets in ahead of me, Jesus. Have you ever felt like everybody else around you is getting ahead of you? Have you ever looked around and wondered, like, why are they just thriving, God? And look at my life. They just show up day one and get the promotion, and I've been here for 38 years. God, I've been single forever. Some of you have been on Christian Mingle and you're still single. And your friend makes a profile and don't even post a picture and she's already getting rings. Like, it's just, and it's so frustrating. I don't know if it's a ring. I've never been on Christian Mingle. But there's a lot of single people in Celebration. I'm just saying, if you're interested, we can take signups out there and we'll have our own little dating service happening here at church. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I'll look at people that are younger than me and I'm like, wow, God, look at their life. Or people that are doing what I'm doing. Wow, God, look at what you're doing. And it's so easy to feel like you've just been down for so long that even when God presents something special to you, you're just not even interested. But there's something about God's ability. God is known for taking bad things and turning them for good. God is known for taking ashes and creating beauty out of them. God in one moment can do something so special in your life, something so new that it will cause you to forget about the previous 38 years. That's how good God is. This man had been down for so long that even when Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" he said, "I can't." Don't let that stop you from receiving the new. The second reason why I think we sometimes resist the new is because this: you are afraid of the ask. You're afraid of the ask. I'm pronunciating the K because you'd just be shocked at what people will post on YouTube, and then, you know, so there is a K there. His response to the man when he seen him at the temple, he said, "Now you are well, so stop sinning." Stop sinning. In other words, Jesus was saying, being that you're stepping into this new thing, what was maybe tolerable in your past season will not be okay in this season. Sometimes the reason why we resist the new is because you're not sure if you're ready to sign up for the requirements that come with the new. And I've seen a lot of people resist what God is wanting to do because they don't know if they're ready to sign up for what comes with that demand. Notice Jesus didn't tell this man when he was over here at the pool, but the moment he stepped into his new thing, Jesus says, "All right, my friend, you got to play by a new set of rules." And people allow that to stop them. You've been engaged for 12 years and you keep blaming it on finances, but you're just afraid of commitment. You're afraid of the, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. But we know that with the new thing comes new responsibilities. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. But you know what I love about Isaiah is that God is not only providing a road. Pastor said this, God is providing a river. In other words, there will be more demand, but God will sustain you through the journey. I know it seems intimidating. I know the ask might be big, but I'm telling you, you were built for more. You were built to do it. You are called to do it. God put that gift and that passion on the inside of you. I know, but you don't know, man, because where I come from, we only go this far in life. God's going to call you to go further, and He will sustain you through it. Don't be the person that resists the new because you're afraid of what comes with the territory. It is going to be a big ask. It will. But you are built for it. You are built for it. You can do it. It's so easy in my own personal life. I know me better than anybody. And I still scratch my head thinking, God, why in the world are you using me? I was intimidated to say yes to the call that God had on my life because I know me. And I wasn't happy where I was, but I was sure intimidated by the ask that might come. But I think about the people God has used me to help. And I think, Andrew, if the ask would have intimidated you, would they have come to know Jesus? Andrew, the ask that would have intimidated you, would that man have died in that hospital that I used you to pray for where Jesus brought healing? Do not be intimidated by the ask. There are people in your future that are banking on your yes. You don't know them, but they need you. It's a big demand. Yes, it is, but you were built for it. The last reason why I think we resist the new, and this one's just kind of simple, nothing profound, but it's simply this: you prefer the old way of doing things. You just prefer the old way. You're just content. We're just good with the way things are today. Notice in that verse it says, but the miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. In other words, they said, Jesus, we like things the way they currently are. You're trying to do something new, and we're not about it. We'd rather stay in the same rut that we are in. We're glad that healing came to that man, but Jesus, we like the old way. And there's a tendency in all of us to embrace the old way, regardless of how amazing the new thing can be. I mean, I went to a restaurant and picked up some food, and they sold me on this new item that everybody loved. But guess what? I stuck to the basic old thing that I got. That's what I do. That's what we do. And if you're married to the old way, people are going to miss out on what you were to bring to them. You see, the old way is convenient for you. The old way is all about you. But when God put you on this earth, He didn't create you to make life just about you. He put breath in your lungs so you can do something with your life to impact the people around you. I'm so glad that Jesus embraced something new, that even on the Sabbath, when He could have embraced the old thing, He chose to say yes to the new thing. And a man that had not walked for 38 years stood to his feet. I can only imagine the people around him that said, "Is that the same guy that's been here for 38 years? Maybe if Jesus can do it for him, He can do it for me." That was not the only man that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Imagine if Jesus chose not to do things on the Sabbath and say yes to the old way. There's people that would be dead in His journey. There are people that He impacted on the Sabbath day that found hope. There were miracles that happened on the Sabbath day that would change the course of cities. What do we miss out on by simply embracing the old? Because it's convenient? Because it's better? These are just some examples of why I think we have a tendency of resisting the new. What am I talking about? I'm not talking about what you might think. I'm talking about the new thing God wants to do in your life. The journey He wants to take you on in your marriage, in your relationships, in your business. The plans, the purpose for your life. God's wanting to put roads in there now to get you on the path that He has for you. And these are some examples that I believe keep us from resisting those paths, resisting those roads. And I'm not saying that we're all going to say yes to the new things of God, but I am asking you to ask yourself a question, because I had to ask myself. Just because I say no to the new thing doesn't mean I'm not making a decision. By default, you saying no to the new thing means you're saying yes to the old thing. So if you don't say yes to the new thing, I just want to ask you, how is it going for you today? If things never shifted, would you be okay with that? Or are you still in a wilderness? It's easy to shoo off the new thing, but you're still stuck in your today. And if you don't do something, you're going to be stuck there 38 years from now. So the option isn't, I just don't want to do the new thing. I want to go live happily ever after. No, it's not. It's I say yes to the new thing or I stay laying on this porch for another 38 years. That's the alternative. What do you miss out on? What do you stay stuck with? Where do you stay at in life if you don't say yes to this new thing? I remember months ago, my daughter and I went on this long walk. Have you ever gone on a walk and kind of just regretted it after like halfway? You're, man, unless you Uber, you got to go back and walk back. And so as we're walking, I remember she was so frustrated. And we were probably about a half a mile still from home. And she's like, just stopped. Just sat there and stopped. And I just said, I don't want to keep going. I don't want to keep going. And I'm like, we got to go. I don't want to keep going. And you know what I said? Well, do you just want to stay here then? Because that is your alternative. Sit here on this curb for the rest of your life. At some point, you're going to have to get up and go or you're going to be stuck. And if you resist the new, I'm just trying to give you a picture. Your life is going to look a lot the same as it does right now. The new is not as intimidating as you think. The new is your way out. The new is what you've been praying for. The new is what you really, really want deep down inside. You just don't know it yet. I'm not a big science guy. I love science, and I think it's awesome how science is now confirming scripture. It's crazy. There's things that scientists are finding out this week that God had already wrote in the book 2,000 years ago. It's awesome. But what's crazy is science has proven that when a person encounters change, there is a part of their brain that it instantly connects it to a threat. You are prone to resist new things. You are wired to resist new things. When change is presented to you, regardless of your current situation, how much you hate it, how much you love it, when change is presented to you, there is a part of your brain that signals threat. Run, be afraid, take off, and fight. You're prone for it. But just because we're prone for it doesn't mean that we have to do it. Just because you're wired to resist it doesn't mean that you have to go with the flow of those things. God has given you the ability, not in yourself, but through a relationship with Him, to tap into a strength that you didn't know that was there, to tap into a courage that you didn't know that was there on your own. You are no match to resist it. But with God, you will take mountains that people will call you crazy for taking. Just because I'm hardwired this way doesn't mean I have to submit to my feelings. Doesn't mean I have to submit to my emotions. Doesn't mean that I have to submit to my past. I can tap into the purpose that God has for me. And I think the very first step, and we just hit on it right now as we get ready to close, is evaluate today's reality. Evaluate today's reality. Before you say no to the new thing, ask yourself, are you happy with where your life is today? That was the first thing that Jesus asked this man. He asked him, would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? He was presenting a question to this man, forcing this man to consider, do I want to stay where I'm at today, or do I want to embrace something new? I believe the moment we can embrace the new thing is when we can begin to step into something incredible. Your life does not have to be stuck today. There is better. There is more. There is a future. And man, I really sense that there's people in this room today that are like, man, I want to sign up for this new thing. But what do I do? I want to say yes to this new thing, but how do I find it? I want to embark on a journey that is unimaginable, that is incredible. And there's two things that I want to give you that I believe are going to set you up for something new. They are essential. They are important. If you can't take these two things that I'm about to give you, if you can't take them and let them go deep into your heart, you will resist the new and you'll be stuck for the rest of your life. The very first thing that I want to make reference to here is this. You got to get God's vision for your todays. You got to get God's vision for your todays. You got to get God's vision for your todays. You can't see a better tomorrow until you get God's vision. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no message from God, people don't control themselves. You got to get the message from God. What is the new thing that God is wanting you to do? This is important because I think in this room there's probably a million different visions that you have, but the only one that counts is not the one that you think, it's the one that God thinks. The only one that you are going to be able to succeed in with God is the one that God gives you for your life. This is important. You got to get God's vision. Notice Jesus gives this man a vision. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. That was a foreign concept to him until Jesus gave him a vision. You will never have a fighting chance until you get a vision for your life. You will stay down and think and wonder about what could be. But when you get a God message, when you get a word from heaven that says, this is what I need you to do, That will be the very first step in you getting up off the ground. Do you know that God vision for your life? Do you know God's vision for your family? Do you know God's vision for your marriage? Do you know God's vision for your finances? Do you know God's vision for the areas in your life that you're stressed about? Because He has one for you. He has a vision for you. This is why reading your Bible is important. I read my daughter's Bible stories all the time. And yeah, maybe it doesn't correlate to the T when we talk about a fiery furnace and three boys being thrown in there. They're probably not going to encounter that. But what I want them to know about that story is that, listen, girls, those three boys that went into the fiery furnace, the fire didn't burn them. And when they came out of the fiery furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke, and there was promotion on the other side. So the next time my girls face a battle, they're not going to be intimidated by the battle. They may experience the fight, but they know deep down, I got a God vision. No matter how big the fight is, it ain't going to affect me. I'm going to come out of it, and I'm not even going to smell like what I've been through. That's how the Bible works. Hey, daughters, guess what? There was this boy named David, and there was this giant, and David brought the giant. He killed the giant. The giant was down, and David won. My daughters probably are never going to fight a giant, but if they ever face a giant in life, in their life, they know that there's something on the inside of them that can help them overcome any obstacle. Do you have your God vision? You're not going to find it on the news. You're not going to find it on Instagram. You are going to find it in the Word of God. And God will reveal it to you. I believe there's some things God's trying to get done quickly. And He needs your participation today. It is not difficult hearing the voice of God for your life. I got saved at 18. Made a decision. Jesus, I give you my life. And about a minute and a half later, got a God vision. Told me clearly, Andrew, this is what I want you to do. Was it an audible voice? No, but there was this thought that came to my mind that I knew that is not a thought for me. That is not a thought. Ministry, that is not a thought for me. I believe as you leave this place and you leave your heart open, God will start dropping thoughts in your mind. Hey, I want you to pursue this. Hey, I want you to go do this in your relationship. Hey, I want you to go and purchase this. Hey, I want, God will start dropping. Pay attention to those things. It's not hard hearing God's voice. He'll speak to you. Just have your heart open. Be willing to respond. When you get a God vision, that is the first step. This man was told by Jesus himself, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. But just because you have a vision doesn't mean it's going to happen. When that man heard those words, he was laying on the floor. He could have been on the floor still saying, you know what? That's a pretty cool vision, Jesus. Jesus, that's pretty incredible. When God gives you clarity and He gives you that vision, your next step is to take the first step. Number three, take the step that God gives you to take. Take the step that God gives you to take. It says, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his mat and he began walking. It is not enough just to get the vision. You got to make a move. You got to take a step. You have to be willing to go there. We got a lot of information. For some of us in this place, God has already given you a vision for things. You just got to act on it now. And I believe as we do it, we are going to experience the new that God desires to do. And man, I believe this in my heart because I even bolded it on my piece of paper. I love the example Scripture gave us about this story. The moment that this man initiated that God vision, the Bible says instantly the man was healed. Instantly the man was healed. I believe your obedience to say yes to the new. I believe instantly for some of you, you're going to see the fruit of that decision. You're not going to have to be figuring it out long for you to say, oh my goodness, I should have said yes a long time ago. I believe that with your obedience, I believe for some of you instantly, you are going to see things happen. Instantly, you're going to see things move. I don't think it's going to take a year from now. I think by next week, your response to the new might cause you to see things so soon, it's going to make you spin, make your head spin like Anthony said earlier. Instantly. I believe that is exactly what God is looking to do. You know, as a church, we have a lot of new things going on. It's amazing. But what I'm grateful is that we are not picking the things that we want to do because we think they're a good idea. We found God's idea, and we are saying yes. For you individually, we can't tell you what that is. That is between you and God. But I believe when you get God's idea and you don't resist it and you say yes, that you will see some incredible things take place in your life. I'm going to ask you just to stand right where you're at. Going to pray for just a group of people here today, and this may not be applicable to everybody, but we are human. Sometimes embracing the new is scary, and it causes fear. The Bible says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, so that should be an indicator to you that that is not God leading you. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So when you sense fear, note that is not God. And many times we mistake wisdom for fear. You got to really pray about that. You have to really pray about it. Allow God to reveal that to you. Andrew, is this fear or is this wisdom? Because I think there's a lot of things that we are resisting because deep down we're just yielding to the spirit of fear. So good. Yep. And I just want to pray in this moment that God would give you clarity on that, and that if it is the spirit of fear, that that spirit would leave your life so that you can do the thing you are called to do. Father, right now I just thank you for every plan and purpose in this room. God, every destiny, every assignment, every dream that is from you. God, by faith, we just declare that we will hit our mark in this earth, that we would do everything that we are called to do, that we will accomplish everything that you have called us to accomplish. And God, I pray that people in this room today would get the clarity for their life, that they would get the clarity for their new. And God, I just come against the spirit of fear that would try to limit your people. We bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, you must leave now. You will not define us. You will not limit us. You will not keep us from the plan that God has for us. Fear, go now. We are people of faith. We are people of courage. We are people that are bold. We are people that are victorious. We will not permit fear to have another day in our life again. God, I thank you that as people take this step, God, that you would show yourself strong. That as people put their hand to the plow, that you would show yourself faithful. God, that miracles would happen. That prayers that have been prayed would be answered in moments. God, that families that have been broken for years, God, that in a moment you would bring restoration. God, for people that have battled confusion forever, that in a moment they would encounter the peace that surpasses all understanding. We come against all torment. We come against every lie of the enemy. We declare we have the mind of Christ. We walk in peace. We walk in clarity. We are focused. And God, we thank you in advance for the great things that you are going to do in us and through us.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.